T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yes, welcome back. Cool time of year. Those of you who are new to us, because maybe you're just digging sports a little bit more than usual. The Bills are 4-1, the Sabres are 5-0-1. Dogs and cats playing together. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. We love to talk about sports and other stuff, and hopefully you like it. If you don't, that's fine too, as long as you're listening. We love that too. We love you equally. Right. Probably, maybe not equally.
Yeah. I'll admit it.
No, but it's nice to be liked.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Sneaky Joe, you'll like him, I think. If you don't know him, he's watching. I'm not at any risk of causing a problem if I like spoil these old baseball games you seem to be watching today, I hope. Like if I, maybe there's a positive. Like Joe was, let me see, 24. Joe would have been like 7 or 8 when this game was played. And, you know, maybe he doesn't know what happens and doesn't want to know.
2004?
3.
2003? Yeah, I'm in third grade when this happens, I think.
So I'm just going to, he's watching the Aaron Boone game.
Okay, yeah. I cried in public.
Okay.
Kind of.
Buffalo Square.
Yeah.
So this is actually not the game I thought it was then. So I did not know the ending. I thought this was 04. I thought this was game 7 of them coming back.
I looked over your shoulder at it, and Clemens was pitching for the Yankees. I'm like, Clemens? But he pitched game 6, I think. You think he pitched against Schilling in 04 with the bloody sock? And I remember Kevin Brown. Johnny Damon hits the grand slam off Kevin Brown.
Game 7, yeah. That's early. Like, that game is 2 in the first, 4 in the second, maybe. And, like, it's just over. And Brown is done. Game 7.
Yes. I'm on the Grand Island Bridge when Johnny Damon hits that grand slam, listening to it in the car. So, yeah, this is the year before. And Clemens, I wouldn't have remembered. It's Clemens and Pedro then.
Okay.
Right? The Aaron Boone game is Pedro.
It's
Grady Little.
Yeah, Grady Little leaves him in, yeah.
Yeah, we were out together.
We were out together. It was a bunch of us. Sully, Brad, I think, you, myself. I don't remember who else. And, yeah, that ended. I don't think I actually started crying, but I left very – like, that home run happened, and I just looked at you, and I slammed some money on the bar, and I'm walking. I got to get out of here.
Yep, that's what happened.
And then I went home and cried. I was just so – I mean, oh, it was just – oh, I was gutted. It was brutal.
When Joe was 7 years old, you and I were sitting right in this room.
No, yeah, I'm sorry.
We were out that night?
No, we were out that night. Sully wasn't there. Sully refused to come. You remember?
Too nervous?
We called him from somewhere, and he just was like, you guys know I can't do it. The Sox were ahead all night, and, you know, this is going to be great. And he's like, I can't do it. He never came. He refused. He was scared that it was going to end that way, so he didn't come.
I guess he had reason to be.
We had been out. We went out a lot. I mean, whatever. We were younger. It was a long time ago. We'd gone out for other playoff games that year, and Jerry was involved in that, but he did not come out that night, as I remember it. He refused. So, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I included him in that, and like I love that memory of him not wanting to come. And I remember thinking, come on, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. No, he was right.
Doesn't caring that much seem long ago? Like just that part seems like a long time ago.
Yes, for sure.
Well, Joe's watching it. Like, Joe, I don't know. He told me earlier this is like the 2 years, the one baseball thing, matchup, series you cared about.
Yeah, as a kid.
At that age. Or like, ever.
Yeah, friends, and everybody was into that, I felt like. That Yankees, Red Sox, the both years, but especially 04 for me. And that's why I think I thought this was 04 originally. But, yeah, I was into that, and that's maybe the only series I've really ever cared about. Just not a big baseball guy, but mm-hmm, I'm starting to do it a little more.
I like that that's on in there. Do we care about the Nationals at all?
I mean, it's kind of cool that they had the year they had. You know, Bryce Harper leaves, get massive contract. They start out pretty bad into May, and now they're in the World Series. We talked a little bit yesterday about the, you know, the narrative buster. I think about Peyton Manning finally winning one, and like people still, I think, still sort of forget that that even happened and like to label him as a loser. So like the Washington Capitals, anytime a team can tip that on its side, like, oh, they're never going to do it. I guess the Dodgers will be the next one I'm waiting for to come through. Like Clayton Kershaw, he's carrying around a big burden with how this, you know, how this finished up for him this year again, and they lost the World Series back-to-back years, didn't even get there, obviously, this year. So, yeah, I guess, like, I'll have no problem rooting for them against either the Astros or the Yankees.
You won't?
No.
Even against Houston, you would root for Washington.
Yeah, yeah. Just
how do you choose?
Just different. It's new, and really, this point that I mean, I guess they're already kind of home free. You know, I think because they made it. So, but now I'd like them to. I'd like them to finish the job. And the Astros are. You know, I'm still enough of a Red Sox fan. The Astros are in my hair. You know,
are the Astros not likable? Did that change?
I don't know. I don't find them like annoying. Maybe they just haven't been good for long enough to really bother me. But
there's an arrogance, though.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, how they were built, the tanking part, and then the Astros are the team that knows something you don't. Right? They're going to take Gerrit Cole is the best example, maybe, or even Verlander. Verlander was like Clemens. I mean, he was getting hit.
Yeah.
And they got him, and he's vintage again. You know, that's what happened to Clemens. And so, and Cole, like the Pirates, he was like a B-plus pitcher. And the Astros, like, wow. They have like pixie dust, and then now you're great. And guys like, to a lesser extent, Miley, I mean, this just keeps happening. And nobody likes that guy. Nobody likes the guy that's like, sort of, wait a minute. What do you know that I don't know?
Yeah.
So I think the Astros, like, when they won it, they were young and new, and like they had never won the World Series either, and Verlander was like his big moment, and I think they were very likable. And the Dodgers, even though they haven't won since '88, they're still the Dodgers. Like they're still a blue blood.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't think I could root for them against the Yankees probably, but against the Astros, I don't think I would choose the Dodgers.
Okay. I wonder if like the image of the Astros is different though 2 years later, like because they've won so much since even like a year or two before they won the World Series, and I know Yankee fans who don't like they dislike the Astros.
Yeah,
so maybe it's different.
I think if last year's ALCS goes differently, maybe I give you a different answer on that. But it didn't. My you know Boston beat them, so you know the only time it's really mattered, they're still. I'm not into it enough to know all this. I mean, you're telling me. I mean, it could grow on me. I got no problem deciding to dislike something or someone. So I mean, I could. But I'm not. I'm all right with them generally. And right now, I don't want the Yankees to win, so I'm all about the Astros. But
also, there's sign stealing allegations, and I'm on the plane going to Florida when it's Game 5 against Tampa. And I love this Glasnow that the Rays trotted out for that game. Like I was excited for that game. Partly or mostly because of him, and Houston just went hit, and I'm on the plane going, are they stealing signs? I'm listening to the Rays broadcast wondering if they're going to bring it up because Houston has a reputation, and they do in like the third inning. By the time I'm almost landing and they brought it up, but the game was like pretty much over against Cole. So, you know, there's some weird stuff with them that I think maybe they have enemies, and the and a certain fan would have resented that they signed Osuna or traded for Osuna last year. But
sure, yeah.
That's kind of
can't really,
down the list, maybe.
I don't like feeling good about that, certainly. I don't, but it's not something that I'm walking around with either.
All right. I mentioned I want to give you a quarterback question. Here it is. So I made a fantasy trade today. It was a dynasty league, and I think asking somebody, another person, about a Dynasty League trade to get their opinion on it is basically like asking them their opinion about football without without prefacing it with Dynasty. Like,
who's better?
Yeah. Who would you rather have?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like if we just talked football and I said, who would you rather have? This guy or that guy? So, who would you rather have? Dak Prescott or Baker Mayfield? And don't worry about contract.
Okay. I mean, I just mentioned, I think, on the air, off the air, I told you yesterday, I think. Yesterday was the first day of the week, so it had to be. We weren't together since last Wednesday, so... that Prescott's kind of growing on me. I think before the season started and everybody was talking about $30 million, I was kind of like, I don't know about that. And that was probably more than anything. He's a fourth-round pick. Like, come on, he can't be that good than anything else. He's grown on me. I think I would answer Prescott. I think he's at a level right now, even, you know, it's been a little rocky here, you know, three losses in a row. In one of those, he threw for a ton of yards, I think. I think the game
Well, the
before,
Green Bay game,
yeah.
He got there. They were behind.
Okay.
But still, like, he had a big...
I think I would answer Prescott, because I don't know. Mayfield can still make throws that, for me, will blow me away. Like, he can drop the ball in places. He's very good like that. But I'm not sure where it's going right now. So the age is not that different. Like, Prescott's only a couple of years older.
I think this is his fourth season, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know what age they were when they came in either. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it could be more than that, but still, it's close enough to me, that I would take the player that right now is already at a level that I think Mayfield is probably hoping to get to. So I would take Prescott. I don't know that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I wouldn't assume Mayfield is going to blow past that ceiling. He might get there. He might reach it. It might be really, really close. But I feel like Prescott is already he's a certain amount of good that I would take him over Mayfield.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. If Mayfield gets to Prescott's level, are you happy? And, like, yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I definitely like Prescott a lot. I have for a couple of years. And I think, you know, why wouldn't you? It could be that he wasn't a first-round pick, because most fans think that the NFL knows who's good and who's not before they come in the league.
Right,
and so Prescott was not supposed to be good, but when he is good, there must be some weird reason for it, like Elliott, you know, or whatever. And you know, fantasy-wise, Prescott's even better.
Yeah,
because he runs.
He's the Dallas quarterback. And that's the other thing. Like, the draft status plus he's the Dallas quarterback gets you to he's being propped up. Yeah, everybody's talking about how good he is because he's the Dallas quarterback and he's on TV all the time, and so he's more famous than everybody else, and you're propping up some fourth-round guy, just like you did with Romo, who was undrafted, da-da-da-da-da. Like,
who was also great.
Right. Get out of my face with the Cowboys quarterbacks. They're not that good. If he was doing what he's doing in Carolina, nobody would care. Like, I think that's out there, and I'm not saying that pejoratively as though, like, that doesn't shade my opinion either. I think that all comes out in, I think, underestimating my opinion of him prior to this year. Because watching him this year, and again, it hasn't been great. They've lost three games in a row, and, you know, there's talk about the coach again and all kinds of stuff, but... I watch him and I'm impressed when I watch him play.
Right on. Well, I'm playing Joe next week in the League of Shopes and Dreams, and this is a good league. It is tight. There are 12 teams. 10 of them are, like, between pretty good and really good. One or two, like, Jeremy is doing a rebuilding thing with his team, so he would admit, like, he's below that. Not, like, by miles. I texted him a couple weeks ago. He could hit with some of his guys. He's got lots of good young guys. And then there's maybe one other, but really, mostly it's really competitive. And there are a couple guys in this league, including Kevin Payne, by the way, who comes on our show from RotoWire. There are a couple guys in this league that just kind of stash quarterbacks. One guy I think might have 8. And it's 24-man roster. Right, Joe? 24? Or 18? I think we go to 18 in the season. 24.
No, 18 keepers, 24 roster, yeah.
Right. So you can't get almost nobody that like gets a starting job is somebody you can go to right. waivers for. Like right. it's hard to get a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in contention, and next week I play Joe, whoever I'm playing. It doesn't matter if it's Joe. And my quarterbacks are Lamar Jackson and Prescott, and they both have the bye. Next week, those are the only two teams on bye, Baltimore and Dallas.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so what am I actually going to do here? And if I have, like, I don't know, the only move I might have had was a trade.
You could have went all in on Tannehill in free agency.
Right, that's tonight.
But that's it. Like, he's the only guy.
Right. So I was looking for a couple days for a trade, and, you know, I'm not going to just make any offer.
Uh-huh.
But I got to this idea. Prescott for Mayfield and Trey Burton, Bears tight end, with Jeff. You know Jeff?
Not without a last name.
So I don't know his last name. It's Jeffs. Really like it's got a lot of Z's and Y's.
Okay.
So I went Prescott for Mayfield and Burton, and he agreed to it.
All right.
So I'll get Mayfield against you. It'd be Mayfield against New England.
You don't
week.
Have to play. It's not like right. our league. You're not playing. You're not down two guys. Like you both your guys are on bye, but you only play one. Anyway.
One quarterback league.
Okay. Right. All right.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm very annoyed with the quarterbacks in this league, the whole quarterback situation, how everybody is owned.
And Joe's had really bad luck.
Ryan, I've had the worst luck, so that's probably why I'm annoyed, because I've cycled through Luck to Newton getting hurt, to Trubisky getting hurt, to now Phillip Rivers playing terrible. Like it's been a bad run.
Derek Carr, sure. You had Derek Carr out Derek in Carr. An offer yeah. for a long time when circumstances were different, and then after circumstances has changed, somebody accepted the offer or something? Is that kind of it?
Yeah, kind of. And then I ended up flipping him for Newton with something else like 4 hours after the fact. So
and
I didn't
Newton
really
went
have
down.
It for very long.
But I feel like he'll be back.
Newton?
He's pretty much healthy now.
Yeah, I'm worried, though. For fantasy, at least. I'm worried that Allen stays in, for sure.
Boy, they are off this week, and then the pressure's on next week. What do they do?
Yeah.
It's Cam Newton, too. It's not just like anybody.
Right. I mean, he's
an MVP.
Big, yeah, right.
But it's not even like Minshew, for instance. Like Minshew has played pretty good, but they haven't been winning while he's been doing it. I think he's 2-3 maybe as a starter. Like he's mm-hmm. been okay.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, it's different. He's been playing pretty good, and they have yet to lose. And I think their coaches would, and the fans especially, would take that into account, and there'd be more pressure to keep him in.
That is a hot one. That is a hot as quarterback controversies go. That one is going to be hot. Newton would have his loyalists.
Yep.
And he's also always had his critics. And now here's a chance to go with a guy who can't lose a game. And
there's, yeah, I mean, there's the ankle that got him on the this time off. But there's questions about his shoulder to begin with, too, from last year, and whether that's 100% healthy. Like, is the foot the main reason he wasn't throwing well? Is the shoulder still a problem? Like, you got a lot to deal with.
There. Haven't they lost his last 8 starts?
Yes.
Yeah, they've lost his last 8, but they've won Kyle Allen's last
5 maybe?
I think. Yeah.
Wow, that is a hot one. That is hot one today.
And you have Will Greer on your fantasy team in that league, and he's not even in the conversation.
Right. I was just prospecting one night, and he can go. He belongs on a team that has 8 quarterbacks. We will have Rob Ray next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Rob Ray in a moment. The Sabres are in Anaheim tonight, so get a nap in. 10 o'clock. 10:30 tomorrow for the Kings. If this were an NBA season, that would not happen. That's not possible anymore. The NBA decided to not have any games start as late as 10:30. You know why?
They hate the Western, the Pacific time zone.
They want people to watch them.
Ah.
They want the games to be more available to people, to the places where the people are that watch the games.
It's all about money.
Sure. Rob, what do you think of this idea? Now, you're out there, and you're probably already adjusted to Western time, but the NBA, there's no 10:30 games anymore, Rob. That's too late for the East Coast, so they're just 10 is the latest, I guess. And you have 10 tonight, 10:30 tomorrow. Maybe hockey should do this.
So what do you do? During the week, you have a 5 o'clock game out here? You'd have nobody in the building.
Just 7 o'clock is just the latest it could be, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, still.
Yes.
So no. Not so bad, I guess.
Yeah. You could do it.
I would do it. I would like to come and, you know, add the weekends, too. Every weekend game should be in the afternoon. Should never be a nighttime game.
Ooh, how about that one, Bulldog?
How about
you like that?
Especially Sundays.
The afternoon games have grown on me. I used to dislike them, but now I kind of like having them and then having the night free. If I want to watch more hockey, great. I choose to do that. If I want to do something else, I feel sort of free to do that. So the afternoon thing has grown on me. I don't know that I'd want it all the time, but I do kind of like it.
Well, you know, it helps even with travel. Like we play at home at 3. We get here by 9:30 the other night. So after the game, so it was with the time change and everything. So it makes that part of it so much better for the players as well. So I think there's a lot more pros than cons.
Of course, for me, the best time the Sabres games would be is 10 a.m. That would be perfect for me. 10 a.m. is perfect. I'm up.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, morning's being completely shunned
being
here.
Being a morning person I am, I'd be up and going, and yeah, I could be to bed at a normal time, yeah.
While we're on the subject of time, how did leaving right after the game on Monday work out? What time did you guys get to California, and do you think
9:30.
You just said that, I'm sorry.
That's right, if you paid attention, it's great.
Sorry.
It's great.
I was multitasking.
Like I said, you're here at 9:30, and you've already kind of, I don't know, mellowed out, and you're not, it's not as if you're going to do anything when you get in, but at least you can get to bed, you can start adjusting to the time a little bit. You know, they had noon practice yesterday, so, it gives you a chance to get up in the morning and kind of settle into it, and I think it's great. The more time you have here to be able to do that adjusting, you come in the day before, that first night, you never sleep. So you've got that extra night to make that happen. I think it's all around good.
What do you remember about playing out there on these trips? Like, were they trips you looked forward to?
Yeah, sometimes. I think it was a little different when there was just one team. But, when you come out and you have to play the multiple games, then it kind of changed a little bit. You always look forward to going to L.A. and only because there was a lot to do with it. There was always, high-profile people there. There was a lot of things you kind of got to do that you normally wouldn't in other places that, you kind of look forward to that once a year. But, now and even back then, once everybody kind of came into the league, the other two teams, then it kind of took that little bit of oomph out of it a little bit.
What is one thing that you're describing that you can tell us about? Like, did you ever go to the Tonight Show or to a TV show or anything?
I think it was more like before and after, because a lot of guys would know people out here, Forum Club and all that, after the game, where, anybody that was anybody at a game would be at afterwards, and you're kind of, that was one of those places somebody had to get kicked out early so you could get there and get your spot and before the coaches got into it type thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who would you see, like Goldie Hawn, Alan Thicke? Who's somebody more contemporary you would see at these Forum Club?
There was those people, too. A lot of, rock stars sometimes. Different guys mm-hmm. would be there. John Candy was always there.
John Candy.
At the beginning a lot. So.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He's from Canada.
You've made the point over the years here, many times, this early season road trip, whether it's California or just somewhere where the team gets out of town for, a few days together, and that early in the season can bring a team together, I'm wondering, probably that point has been made mostly during bad starts to seasons. Here the Sabres are 5-0-1. Like, do they need to get to know one another well and bond, or do you think a lot of that has already happened?
I think a lot has happened. You know, even the new guys that are there are guys that have been around. But, you know, even when you're away like this, you see, you know, a lot of the older guys, you know, even Marcus Johansson yesterday with Olsen, you know, outside. You know, he literally taking him aside and got the you know, replays of things on his phone showing him. But, you know, just things like that you could do now that you're not going to do, you know, any other time. Here, while we're out here, we play tonight, tomorrow night, and then get Friday off. It's a day off for the team. So, you know, that'll be the time the guys can kind of, you know, go in that direction and do whatever they're going to do as a group. So, you know, that makes it nice that you can have a full day and you can go do whatever you want and not be bothered. And that'll make a big difference. But, you know, I think that being away maybe isn't quite the same, but it's still a really good opportunity for, you know, the guys to be together. And, you know, what I noticed, too, now with this group, it's not two or three guys going in different directions. It's large groups of them. And that's good to see, because that was the same as back when we played. Everybody would go to dinner at the same place, and the two or three guys that didn't, you know, you sat and talked about all night because, you know, you were not offended by it, but just always wondering why maybe they wouldn't come and you know, be a part of the team. So It's good to see them hanging out in large numbers.
With Rob Ray on the Western Hotline, the Sabres are in Anaheim tonight, 10 o'clock start. So, Rob, I think a lot of fans are comparing the Sabres' start with the winning streak last year. And so we're all asking each other, like, do you buy this? Like, is it fool's gold again, or is it for real, or what's going on? Because, of course, expectations weren't super high. And the game on Monday was different than most, if not all, of those games in that winning streak last year. In that it was so solid. Like, defensively is where they're really killing it so far this year, and plenty of offense is coming from that. You have the power play too, and you have 25 goals here in four games. How do you compare this year and last year, and maybe would you also look at Monday's game as like a really good sign in that way?
I think Monday's game defensively was probably the best game they've played this year. I think that, you know, you're going against a big team that wanted to come in. They wanted to lean on you a little bit. They were supposed to be a little upset of the way their season has gone. And even between periods, talking to Steve Smith, he says, you know what, we're not creating much, but we're not giving anything up. And he says, you know, we're in the middle of a chess match here, and we can't blink. So I give them a lot of credit that they were in that game, and they didn't crack. They stayed with that game plan from start to finish, and they wore them down. They wore and frustrated Dallas down, and you see that happening more and more. You know, last year in that 10-game streak, you know, they won some games they shouldn't, and, you know, they found ways, which was all great. But you look at the game, you know, on Monday, they hung in there, did it, never strayed from their game plan, and then completely took the game over. And, you know, they had Dallas, you know, Jamie Benn and these guys doing things that they shouldn't have been doing at the time because they're wasting energy instead of, you know, trying to create some offense. So I think it's totally different the way they're doing it now. It's a more complete game. It's a more focused game. And I think that it's not relying on, you know, two or three guys or a line or whatever it may be. All four are contributing in the back end. You're getting good goaltending. So it's not, yeah, maybe the scores sometimes are close, but in a lot of cases what they're doing, it's not close.
The 10 games they won in a row last year, Bulldog has pointed out many times, 7 were in overtime or shootout, and 9 were one-goal games. There was one game that they won 5-2 against the Flyers. Every other game was a one-goal game.
Yeah.
Flyers game, that would have been Thanksgiving Eve, I think. If I remember correctly, they jumped out to a big lead and then sort of hung on a little bit, even though it, you know, 5-2 was pretty comfortable. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think, you know, if you're paying attention to some of the, you know, shot attempts and the high danger stuff especially is very favorable to the team in general. And that, you know, I think That's better defense. That's getting out of your own zone faster, like not being as hemmed in for long, helps a lot. And that is going to help your goaltending. You know, I don't expect these guys to cruise through the year with a 930 save percentage like they both have right now. But I would expect it to improve pretty noticeably if they continue to limit those high danger scoring opportunities.
Yeah, and you got guys now that mobile D that can get back there. And, you know, they're getting out quick. It's something they talk about every night, making that first pass coming out. But a lot has to do with the way they're playing defensively. It's not just to the D going back. They've got a theory that when the puck is turned over in the offensive zone, everybody has to be back in position by the time that puck hits the blue line at the other end. You're back. And you're seeing guys bust their butt to get back and be in that position so much more than you've seen forever, that is what's making the difference. You're not watching somebody lollydag back through the neutral zone and just waiting for maybe that long lead pass or something. They bust back, and then they figure out what they're going to do from there. And then most of the time they got control of the puck. It's a quick pass. They're quick enough that, you know, they're gone the other way again. And I think they've realized that they can create a heck of a lot more offense you know, if they get back quicker and help out, because too many times they're getting back in the zone and, you know, you're running around, and as soon as you get making that first pad pass or second bad pass, you're hemmed in for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not happening now because they're back and they're in good position, and it's defensive first, and then they move on to the offense.
Have you had an opportunity to talk to Marco Scandella at all so far this year? Because he's playing with Joakim Harju, and like together, like that's been a very good tandem, and I think Joakim Harju has been very good for Scandella, and maybe in some other ways, Scandella's been good for Joakim Harju. But I like seeing, there was one breakdown that I saw on Twitter today of Scandella sort of deferring, was the word used by the person who posted this, and forgive me, I'm not sure who it was, but like, look, you're good at making this pass, so instead of me forcing something, I'm just going to give it to you and let you do this. And, like, everybody wins there, right? I'm out of the zone. I've got a good pass. And, you know, you're feeling good about their performance. I think the kid has had a real positive impact on him.
Yeah, I think the kid's much better in a defensive zone than what he is. So, you know, anybody that, you know, understood that, you would say, okay, then you get back, you make that pass, I'll, you know, look out defensively here in front of the net, I'll slow guys up and add to that side. And you go to the other end, you know, Marco likes to be the guy that jumps in a little bit and gets involved offensively that way, where Joakim Harju is maybe, I don't know if he's as comfortable jumping in yet. He does a little bit, but not, you know, as much as, say, a Marco would. So you kind of give and take at each end. And, you know, just in talking to Marco, it's all comes down to this guy is, he was wound up tight. He was wound up tight, and now he says, I can just go play. So the difference with him is, you know, playing relaxed and knowing that, you know, you're not going to get ate up if you make a mistake, and you got somebody of quality to play with. So, you know, when you've got two quality guys instead of one and trying to ham and egg another one in there, then, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off you.
It sounds good. It probably gets harder when you play more games and then you go play Boston, and Boston's coach is like, all right, when it's 6-10, 10's always the guy who's going to throw the puck up the ice.
Right.
Like, well, it's going to start happening already because, you know, as soon as you have that success and people start talking, then they're going to start digging deeper and trying to figure out how everything works. You know, out here, all the talk is with Dallas Eakins is the power play for the Sabres and how do you stop it? And, you know, he's telling everybody how he's planning on stopping the Sabres' power play here tonight. But, you know, little things like that, they're going to start getting keyed on. And it's going to be up to the Sabres side, the players and coaches, to become a little more creative and adjust things as they happen. So, yeah, with success comes a lot more pressure, too, you know, because they're going to be working that much harder to trying to solve it.
More with Rob Ray as the Sabres play in Anaheim tonight. Stay tuned. This is WGR. Welcome back. Talking with Rob Ray as the Sabres and Ducks go tonight from Anaheim, 9 o'clock pregame. With success comes pressure, and I think what also you were talking about before in terms of effort is something you're going to get when the season isn't lost yet. You know, like it's right now, the beginning of the year, everybody's fresh, everybody's going hard. And when a team, I think you'd agree, when a team gets to a point, even as soon as by the middle of the season, like has happened here, and it's kind of over, then you're going to see signs of laziness. You're going to see give up, you know, and it's not because they don't care. It's just it's not worth as much. So can this team stay competitive enough so that the core guys all want to just keep giving that much to it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they've got a belief amongst them that they're, you know, they can compete. I think that they, it's only been a small sample so far, but, you know, I think the guys know that what is being shown to them will work, and it's a matter of them, you know, doing it every night, that it's going to give you a chance. You're not going to win them all, but it's going to give you a chance to win every night. And by doing that, I think you're seeing a lot of individual success for guys that when they see that, that's going to entice them even more to play that way because they all want to have their individual success, which, you know, you don't blame them. That's what it's all about. But I think that, yeah, if they can keep playing and being competitive every night, you're going to have those guys. And a lot of the time, too, when you're losing that pressure, you start practicing more, you start pushing more, and you get wore down more. You know, now you can go and take a day like yesterday or a day like Friday, and unless things totally, you know, crumble here in the next two games, you can sit back on a Friday and relax and have some fun and just, you know, smile and get away from it. If you're not winning those days that you have off, you don't get away from it. You sit there and you think about it, and you don't maybe relax quite as much, and so it doesn't do you as much good as what it does when you are, you know, playing better.
Have you made your plans for Friday yet?
No.
Want to see how these two games go first?
No, they all want to go into San Francisco again. Been there, did it. No.
You know, I did something cool in Florida. I guess this was 2 days ago. I went to a place called Gatorland. You probably would have liked it.
I don't know how many gators they have in San Jose.
No, you probably can't find Gatorland, but it was some sort of cool one-off place to us anyway. Like, we go down there every year and kind of do the same things. But we, you know, dug a little deeper and found this Gatorland, Rob. Gators, just, you know, too many to count.
That'd be cool, though.
It was. You know what? I had another funny thought. I'll tell you. So, you know, you see people sometimes, like you see people sometimes, I have not rehearsed this and I'm sort of worried already. You see people sometimes who have one arm.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe you think something about it. You know, I don't always think something about it. Maybe I usually don't or almost never do. It's if you think about it, you go like, oh, that person, you know, had something happen. And
how that happened.
They lost an arm. There was a guy at Gatorland with one arm, and I immediately thought, uh-oh.
Gator bite.
Yeah, maybe that happened here. You know, how about that, Bulldog? Like, so you see somebody in an airport, like, oh, well, maybe you don't even notice. You don't ponder it.
The context matters, yeah.
Gatorland, we're like, you know, maybe that guy's arm got bitten off by a gator.
The guy in Happy Gilmore, he lost his arm trying to get his ball.
All the more reason to make that connection.
Right, there you go.
Right. Yeah.
I love that he went. I think I went to this same place like in 1973, Rob.
With my
family on a Florida vacation. Like he posted pictures of Gatorland and I'm like, I've been to Gatorland. He got back here. Did it say anywhere there like how long they've been in business?
1949.
Right, 1949. So 73. I'm in the window there. I think I went to the same place. You got to check out Gatorland next time.
I got to check it out next time in Florida.
That's the point of all
this. They won't let you hunt them though.
What about fish? Like, throw a line in. I see those guys on TV. They use big, heavy fishing poles, and they catch them that way.
Yeah. I mean, again, they don't want you catching.
Catch and release.
Catch and release.
I think it's take the hook out and let them go again.
Yeah, you tell them that. Listen, all I'm doing, I'm going to put them right back.
Right.
No plans to keep the animal.
We're back to the guy missing an arm now.
Right.
Right back to that.
They have a thing where for $5, they gave our kids each 3 fish. And you just, you know, put them on a line and you feed the gators.
Yeah.
They had that, but, you know, nothing more than that.
That's pretty cool.
All right, Rob, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, I look forward to it.
All right.
Me too.
Have a good broadcast tonight. We'll be watching/listening.
Yeah, you won't be watching. It's too late. Come on.
We'll let you know tomorrow if we watch the game. If we didn't watch the game,
tape it or whatever you do.
If we didn't watch it, you'll have to tell us about it.
You shut up.
You'll tell us about it.
Old too. I don't stay up past 9:30. So,
all right, buddy. All right. Have a good night.
All right, guys. Take care.
There's Rob Ray on WGR, brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Very good. Rob Ray, Sal Capaccio, Armando Salguero, our guests today. Thanks to them for being on and to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 3. Rob again, John Clayton, Evan Abrams, Thursday. Bills and Dolphins coming up, Sabres and Ducks tonight. Enjoy the game. Join us tomorrow to discuss it here on WGR.
The part is over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.